We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Good morning, church. Good morning, church. You can do better than that. Today you're celebrating mothers, right? So we are all excited. Good morning, church. Hallelujah. A very warm welcome to you who have managed to make it to the house of God this morning. We welcome you for making it this morning. And a very special welcome to all those who are joining us this morning from home, in your lounge, in your kitchen, in your dining, in your bedroom, wherever you are seated this morning. We welcome you and we are very much excited that you've taken some time to join us this morning, and we are celebrating Jesus together. So a very warm welcome to you, whether you're joining us through YouTube, via Zoom or Facebook, you are very much welcome this morning. So can we shout again, Happy Mother's Day?
Happy Mother's Day. Yes.
All mothers out there, happy mothers to you. Enjoy it today. Amen. So I would like to just take the privilege to thank the church, the leaders of the church, the elders of the church for giving me the opportunity to take part in the Easter series that we've been running so far. It's such a good time, you know, when we reflect on Easter and we think about Easter and what is it all about. And you begin to think about where Jesus picked you up from. You begin to reflect about the grace of God, how good he has been to you. So this morning, I just want to thank, you know, the leaders for the opportunity to take part in this series. Amen. Last Sunday, Mr. Mayala introduced us to this Easter series, which is entitled Coming to the Cross. And we learned a lot. And one thing that captured my heart, and that was very clear, was the message that everything changes at the cross. Everything changes at the cross. So this morning, I would like to invite you to join me once again and come to the cross as we learned again some lessons from about a bystander who moved from inactivity to activity. He moved from spectating to serving. And who knows? Perhaps this morning, we might even be changed by the cross. So today's message, if you are one of those that write notes, it's entitled, The Bystander, Moving from Spectator to Servant. The Bystander, Moving from Spectator to Servant. And the main text will come from John 19, verse 28 to 30. And the second reading will come from Matthew 27, verse 47 to 49. So I'll read the first reading from John 19, the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 28. It reads, After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I thirsty. And now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a hyssop, and put it on his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, It is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. The second reading will come from Matthew 27, from verse 47. Some of those who stood there, when they heard that, they said, This man is calling for Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. And the rest said, Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning. We thank you for the message you have for each and every one of us. One thing that we know, Lord, is that your message changes lives, transforms minds. And this morning, we know that there is no heart that you cannot change. And so we come to you with hearts that are open, hearts that are receptive, hearts that are expectant, because we know you always come to us and minister to us in a very personal way. And so we come to you and we sit at your feet this morning. As for me, Lord, I just surrender myself to you and I say, use me in the way that honors your name and glorifies your name. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So, the scripture that we have read just introduced us to a bystander. Amen. This bystander at the cross, he caught my attention because he responded to a need in a very hostile environment. Many were locked down in their homes after darkness covered the earth for 3 hours. And those who were still out by that time, we were just really curious to watch what the events that were happening, that were taking place at Golgotha. And this one bystander happened to be among those who were out that day. So join me this morning as we take a moment to reflect on the actions, and hopefully we will be encouraged to make such moves in our lives today. There are some lessons we want to draw from this bystander. I don't know whether he was a young man or an elderly man. I don't know. They don't talk much about him. They just call me a bystander. And we want to learn something from this man. So the first lesson we can pick from the scriptures we've read is that the cross presented the bystanders an opportunity to serve. The cross presented the bystanders with an opportunity to save. You know, the Gospel of John introduces us to this scene using the statement, later, knowing that all was now complete, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I'm thirsty. John 19, verse 28. Church, I want to remind you a little bit that at this point, Jesus' predicament was very obvious. He was hanging on the cross. He had suffered at the hands of his persecutors and was in agony as a human being, bearing the sin of mankind, your sin and my sins. So, from a natural point of view, you can easily say, a drink was really warranted at this point because by this time, he had lost lots of blood. But from the scripture we have just read, later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, that's what John says. It seems John sees deeper than that, just the natural need. John is going deeper than the natural level, as he explains that now Jesus was fulfilling the scripture as was predicted in Psalms 69, verse 21. When he cried out, I'm thirsty. And I would like to think John's explanation makes sense. I would like to believe his way of thinking. You know why? Because of two reasons. The first reason, let's consider the timing of the request. Jesus cries out, I'm thirsty, after being subjected to a serious interrogation from the Jewish Sanhedrin overnight. Jesus cries out, I'm thirsty, after being wounded by whips and chains. Jesus cries out, I'm thirsty, after thorns were placed on his head to resemble a crown. Jesus cries out, I'm thirsty, after walking from the place of interrogation to Golgotha, carrying his cross on his back. Jesus cries out, "I'm thirsty," after the nails were hammered into his hands and feet. And he cries out, "I'm thirsty," after asking the Father for forgiveness of those who crucified him. Jesus cried out, "I'm thirsty," after he welcomed a high-profile criminal into paradise when he repented at the cross. Jesus cries out, "I'm thirsty," after he attended to the needs of his grieving mother. He cried out, "I'm thirsty," after showing mercy, after showing grace, after showing compassion. To me, that reveals the heart of the Father. He came to save, not to be saved. He came to fulfill the Father's will. So he cries out, "I'm thirsty." In the midst of his suffering, he shows mercy. He shows compassion. He shows grace. Not before the interrogation. Not during the journey to Golgotha. Not during just before they nailed him on the cross. But after showing the Father's heart. Secondly, let's reflect for a moment. You know, for us to really realize John's explanation makes sense. That this claim was beyond a natural need. Can you just imagine for a moment that Jesus, who turned water into wine at a wedding at Cana, cries out, "I'm thirsty"? Can you just imagine? You know, Jesus, who fed 5,000 men, we can't even count the women and the children. You know, when there are men, women and children, when you've got 5,000 men, most likely you have got 10,000 women and 15,000 children. So Jesus fed them a couple of times with only a few loaves of bread and a little fish. And he's crying out, "I'm thirsty." Just imagine, can you just imagine that Jesus, who offered a drink, a living water to the Samaritan woman at the well, and told her that if you knew who is asking for a drink, you'd ask me for living water, because that water you never thirst again. He's crying out, "I'm thirsty." Can you just imagine that Jesus, who cried out at the last day of the feast and say, anyone who is thirsty, come to me and drink, and rivers of living water flow out of your belly. He's crying out. He now cries out, "I'm thirsty." That doesn't add up to me. That doesn't add up in my view. Why would the one who can give a drink cries out, "I'm thirsty"? But you know what? Let's not ponder much over that. The good news for you and me is that as Jesus chose to reveal his frail humanity, he offered those who were at the cross an opportunity to move from inactivity to activity. He offered them an opportunity to move from spectating to serving. And that offer is still available to you and me. He is still crying out, "I'm thirsty," offering us an opportunity to save, moving from spectating to participating. What a moment to step in and do something that could ease his agony, maybe. What a moment. Yet many did not really jump for the opportunity. At that moment, you must understand that many were standing there watching sorrow, pity, and wondering why the so-called Messiah cannot save himself from this humiliating death. Why? He saved many. He raised the dead. Some who were even buried for 3 days. Why can't he save himself from the humiliating death? Friends, despite all these cries we can talk about, we should not lose sight of the very ultimate perspective, which is victory, not defeat. Jesus, earlier on, before all this interrogation, all this carrying the cross, all this questioning and mockery and insult and beatings and everything, Jesus spoke of his death as a lifting up on the cross. The Son of Man who will be lifted up. He spoke of it as an act of elevation as well as of identification. His crucifixion was his coronation. His cross was his throne. So those who were at the cross were offered an opportunity to save the King of Kings as the placard over his head as he hanged on the cross was written, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of Jews. He's still the King of Kings today. Yet when the opportunity came to meet that need, not many responded except just this one bystander. Just one, this bystander. There were many at the cross. But only one, the Bible talks about, only one responded. Church, what an area of need is Jesus revealing to you this morning? What an area of need is Jesus crying to you, I'm thirsty this season? Is there a door of saving that's opening? Is there a door opening for you to save? Stay with me. Let's see how this bystander responded to the call at the cross that afternoon. Maybe it might help us to respond to our call today. So that leads us to our lesson number two. The unnamed bystander seized the opportunity to save. The unnamed bystander seized the opportunity to save. Matthew 27, verse 47 says it all. It says, when some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine, vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. Immediately, one of them ran and soaked a sponge with wine, vinegar, and lifted up to Jesus. Sleeps. The word immediately implies a state of urgency in his actions. It implies that he quickly jumped from his place, bypasses the soldiers, ignores the ridicules from other bystanders who tell him, leave him alone, seizes the opportunity, takes on Christ's need and attempts to meet it by putting a soaked sponge with wine vinegar onto his lips. I just love it. You know, I love it when somebody sees a need and meets it. I love it when my kids come from school and find the kitchen deserted and put down their bags, and instead of calling, Mom, how come you've not started cooking? They just open the freezer, take out the meat, and start cooking. I love it. I love it when my husband wakes up in the morning, opens the fridge, realizes there's no milk, there's no bread, takes the car keys, goes to the car, goes to the shops, buys the milk, buys the bread, brings even some eggs, comes into the kitchen, and makes breakfast for everybody. I love it. I love it when my husband comes and wakes me up and says, there is a cup of tea for you, sweetie. And I'm like, amen. I love it. I love it. Hey, I love it when somebody just goes to the bathrooms and realizes something is not smelling good and takes on their gloves and goes back and cleans it. I love it. You know, like this one bystander who heard the cry and seized the opportunity to move from being a spectator and becoming a servant. We don't hear about the Sanhedrin or the leaders telling him, could you give him some water? You have nothing to do. Just take that and go give him. We don't hear that. We just hear immediately. Just at that moment, when the disciples of Jesus had deserted him and went into hiding, and only a small company, mainly of women, women say amen. It's Mother's Day today. Amen. You know, only a few women and one disciple that loved Jesus were present at the cross. Just at that moment when many were watching with sorrow and pity, just at that moment when all hope for the Messiah was crushed to nothing, just at that moment when some were terrified and didn't know, were not sure what to expect next, just at that moment, this nameless bystander, which the writer does not even bother to ask his name. So what's your name, guy? What's your name? You're doing a good thing. This nameless bystander stepped forward in response to the cry for a drink and played a significant role that was key to the fulfillment of Jesus' ministry on earth. Just at that moment, scripture was fulfilled. They gave me vinegar for my thirst. Psalm 69, verse 21. Just at that moment, just at that little act fulfills scripture. Church, as we reflect on the actions of this bystander, let me remind you that at that moment, Jesus looked so powerless on the cross. He didn't look like a king, except perhaps for the placard over his head. Yet as human beings, we are so conditioned and, you know, to saving those that seem to have power. We are so conditioned to save those that seem to have it in control, to be in control. That's why some ridiculed this bystander and said, leave him alone. He's not even worth of running. Why are you running around about him? He's going to be dying soon. Went yet this bystander took the initiative and did it. We need to understand that some opportunities to save are not presented in the usual way we are accustomed to, especially when we consider the invitation to the cross. You know, everything changes at the cross. At the cross, convicted criminals receive an express passport to heaven when they humbly sought forgiveness from the suffering king. At the cross, your destiny is changed. His ticket was rewritten right there at the cross. At the cross, the crying mother is given another son to take care of her. She's comforted. So at the cross, transformation takes place. There's an exchange that happens at the cross. You know, the weak become strong at the cross. The poor become rich at the cross. The blind receive sight at the cross. The poor are made whole at the cross. Things change at the cross. The inactive become active at the cross. The spectators become servants at the cross. The bystanders begin to run around at the cross. All happens at the cross. You know, when we get to know that Jesus can appear as a prisoner hanging on the cross, when we begin to understand that Jesus can appear as a homeless, when we begin to understand that Jesus can appear as an ex-offender, when we begin to understand that Jesus can appear as a bedridden patient, or he can appear to you as a mentally disturbed neighbor, when we begin to realize that Jesus can appear as a hungry child, as a thirsty stranger, like the Samaritan woman at the well and Jesus, when we begin to realize that Jesus can appear as a neglected child, then we will know who Jesus is. Then we will have a revelation of who Jesus is. The one who forgives sins. The one who welcomes whosoever, anyone who is willing and available to serve him. Only then we will respond like the bystander who understood that this man hanging on the cross deserves my service in spite of his current circumstances. My friends, are you being called to move from inactivity to activity this morning? Is it time for you to stop spectating and begin to take your place in the house of God? Make a move, because you will never know the significance of your part within God's puzzle until you find yourself, your place within the puzzle. Seize the opportunity and experience the change at the cross as you find your place in God's puzzle. You might be saying, what is this significant role you are talking about? What exactly did this bystander do? What is it that he did? That leads us to lesson number three. The bystander's service triggered completion of Jesus' mission on earth. The bystander's service triggered completion of Jesus' mission on earth. John 19, verse 30 says, when he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. This unnamed bystander, who could not watch someone suffer, acted, and his action triggered the final declaration at the cross. After, you know, the Bible is clear. After receiving the sour wine, Jesus made a final victorious cry, it is finished. In other words, the task has been completed. Jesus has been obedient unto death. The price has been paid. The Father has been satisfied. The Father has been glorified. It was a declaration of victory, not a cry of defeat. So he gave up his spirit, offered up his life, laid it down as he fulfilled the Father's will. Friends, I need you to understand that the unnamed bystander who moved from being a spectator to being a servant enabled the completion of Jesus' ministry at the cross. You need to understand that. That scripture had to be fulfilled for Jesus to lay down his life. And that needed a bystander who can't watch when there is a need to act. It was only after Jesus received the wine vinegar that he declared, mission accomplished. It is done. And that completion was because of a humble service of an ordinary bystander. Isn't that amazing? That the little thing that you do fulfills scripture. That the little thing that you do takes the vision of the church to the next level. Isn't it amazing? I want us to understand something again before we go further. Church, I'm pretty sure that this brave bystander who defied the insult and the mockery of the soldiers who were eager to see Jesus die in agony and suffer was not aware of the significance of meeting, of responding to that need. I'm pretty sure he was not. I'm pretty sure he had no clue he was fulfilling the scripture. Because I think he was still reading New Testament. He had not gone to the Old Testament. So he didn't know. I'm pretty sure he was not aware that this was his open door of opportunity to save. Even though they've been talking about it. Even though they've been singing about it. I'm pretty sure he didn't realize this is my door of opportunity to save. My time has come. Furthermore, I'm totally convinced that those who were with him in that crowd were completely and totally oblivious to his actions. But this bystander saw the gap and immediately moved in to take part in the plan of salvation. Just that last moment. He took the initiative and met the need. His actions fulfilled scripture. That's awesome. And can somebody say amen? If Christ is calling you to save today, how will you respond as you come to the cross? I invited you to come to the cross with me this morning. If Christ is calling you to save today, how will you respond as you come to the cross? Friends, you will never know the impact of your service in the kingdom of God until you move from a position of spectating and choose to be a participating, devoted follower of Jesus Christ. You will never know until you make that decision. Because at the cross, the door to save God is open wide. And anyone, even the bystanders, can jump in and save. And my prayer this morning is that we may be found ready to save as we come to the cross. We may be found ready to meet the need. We may be found ready to act upon the need. We may be found ready to hear the cry, "I'm thirsty." I pray that we may stay focused on the cross so we can respond to the call to action. Let me just remind you as I conclude that everything changes at the cross. Everything changes at the cross. Life-changing moves are made at the cross. Your destiny is changed at the cross. Your passport is re-stamped at the cross. You get a new citizenship at the cross. So, as we conclude, let's reflect on a few questions that I have for you this morning. Perhaps we would hear the echoes of Jesus' words at the cross, "I'm thirsty," and respond like the bystander did. So, have you been standing far from the cross that you could not hear Jesus cry for a drink? Have you been standing far from the cross that you could not hear Jesus cry for a drink? If so, I encourage you to make yourself available this morning. I encourage you to draw closer to the cross. I encourage you to move closer to the cross. This Easter, come to the cross. Respond to the invitation and be in his presence so you can see the door to saving he has set before you. Keep your eyes on him and keep listening. He is calling you to a place of action. Maybe among us there are some that are saying, "Actually, I'm not standing far from the cross. I am at the cross. I am there." So if you are at the cross, have you been standing by, spectating, and not responding to the call to get involved in the house of God because of fear of what others would say. There's the other bystanders. If so, I encourage you to be courageous like this bystander. Seize the opportunity just to do what needs to be done. Who knows? Maybe your door of opportunity to serve is for such a time as this. So, my friends, rise up and take your place. Or even so, you might be saying, yeah, I'm there, I'm standing by, I'm at the cross, but I just don't think I've got the resources, I've got what it takes to be involved, what it takes to participate. So, have you been failing to save because of feeling ill-equipped for the task? Have you been feeling you don't have the gifts, you don't have the anointing? If so, I encourage you to offer whatever you have, whatever is in your hand, be willing to offer it. It could be a rod like Moses. It could be just be, you know, the ability to interpret dreams like Daniel, like Joseph. Or it could be even a sling and a stone like David. Or it could be a little oil in a jar like the widow. Or even it could be just empty nets and empty boats like the disciples. Or maybe even a sponge soaked in wine vinegar like the bystander. Whatever you have, guess what? That's what Jesus needs. Whatever is in your hand, that's what Jesus needs. Whatever within your capacity, that's what Jesus needs. Respond. Be willing to offer whatever you have. The bystander offered wine vinegar, not actual water, because that was what was within his reach. And that act fulfilled scripture and ushered Jesus to the moment of making a final declaration of victory. It is finished. Mission accomplished. Church, let's embrace the call to action this season. Let's embrace the call to action this morning. Remember, changes happen at the cross. And we all have to take part to make that change happen. Regardless of how long you have been spectating, today I invite you to move from spectating to serving. Regardless of how long you have been spectating, today I invite you to move from inactivity to activity. Why not consider yet another transformation this morning at the cross and fulfill God's purpose in your life? Find something to do that will help you complete God's puzzle for your generation. You never know. Church is like a puzzle. And you and me are the pieces that make up that puzzle. So you never know. You might be the missing piece on God's puzzle. Something you will never know until you choose to move from spectating to action. Something you will never discover until you decide to move from, you know, inactivity to activity. Choose to be a participating, devoted follower of Jesus Christ this morning. And I pray that the Lord will help us to move from being spectators to becoming servants this season of open doors. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the invitation to come to the cross. We thank you for the finished work of Calvary. We thank you for the proposal that you made at the cross. Father, how I pray this morning, we may respond to that proposal. We may hear the echo of your words, "I am thirsty," and respond this morning. So, Lord, I pray for those that are saying, "I'm even far from the cross. I pray for them that they may know that the proposal of love that you showed on the cross is still available. You are still inviting us to come to you. So I pray for those that do not know you, that they will open their hearts and hear you, my God, knocking at the door of their hearts and invite you to come in. And so you can be their king and their master. I pray for them that they will get saved this morning. They will give up. They will give their lives to you this morning. They will admit that they need you this morning. They will believe in the finished work of Calvary this morning. I pray for those that are standing at the cross, watching in sorrow and pity. Father, I pray that they will move from spectating to activity. That they will move from spectating to serving. I pray for those that are so much concerned about what people will say, that they will know that what you need is what they have. That they will know that maybe they are the missing puzzle in the house of God. That maybe their role is yet to trigger something that will expand the kingdom of God. Father, I pray for those that feel equipped, that they may know that it's not by might or by power, but by your spirit. That they may know that it is you at work in us. It is you who equips us. It is you who trains us. It is you who empowers us. And so, Lord, I pray that we will all avail ourselves this morning. We will all just come as we are and allow you to use us. Father, we pray. May we be totally surrendered to you. May we choose to be saving, devoted followers of Christ. May we choose to be participating, devoted followers of Christ this season. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.